Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
We are right on time, sort of. We're all, actually, apart from Gemma, not running late.
Unusually.
Welcome, I'm Hattie Ashdown. The voice you can hear is the very on time and prompt Gemma Beakley.
Punctual.
Our guest, I was running late, my train was cancelled, my guest is running a bit late. She's coming in. Anyway, but we are excited about our guests, and she's been for a tiddle. It's what we like to call it. I'll let her have a moment to take a breath. And we did a gig together on Zoom and in real life, but she is a double Emmy Award-winning comedian, actress, writer, and now stand-up. She's probably most famous for starring in the iconic Smack the Pony, as well as appearing on various TV shows, Skins, EastEnders, Waterloo Road, Corrie. And she's originally from Lancashire. Yeah.
Aye.
And you live in London now, right?
Yeah. No, actually.
Sort of just outside.
Yeah, I've lived in London for years and years. And then I just, I love the city and I want to be in it. And I am in it all the time. I just didn't want to live in it anymore. So I moved out 20 minutes from where I lived, just down the road, 20 minutes really.
Yeah.
But completely different vibe for the weekend. So when you stop, you stop.
Yeah.
And then I would go bonkers if I didn't live near London, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You need to be that.
I love this city.
You need to be near enough.
I love everything in it. And, you know, it's so much fun and so much to do. But I just wanted to have that time where you just go, even if it's a Sunday, if it's one day, you just stop. And you can't do that in a city.
No.
So I moved out a little bit. So I've got this, like, double life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's 80% this way. But I've got this other little moment where I can just chill out and wander around with my dog and...
That's the dream. This is what I keep talking. The voice you can hear now is, of course, Fiona.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, everyone. Morning. That was a bit rude, wasn't it?
No, we like to do sort of weird. It's like keeps them guessing. Oh, one. Wait, who is it? Right, yeah. Gives them a little quiz in the morning. Mum of three as well is what I should have said as well.
Mum of three, yeah. Lummoxing kids.
How old are your kiddlies? Because I don't think we talked...
Well, the teenagers now.
All of them?
Are they
all quite close in age?
Yeah, very close. I had three under five at one
point.
Well, that was one of my moments, you see, where I started to get that feeling of, no, I can't do this, because I can't... I think it was coming back from the supermarket, and northerners have this thing. You don't park in front of someone's house. Anyone northern will tell you this. Southerners kind of go, what? They do that. What? Right? What? You'd say that to a northerner, they'd just nod. Yeah, you don't. It's seen as kind of like really rude and you just don't do it. And I didn't realise that you've got to try and find a space here. I even put a post-it note. This is how tragic I was. I put a post-it note politely going, oh, hi, I've just moved in at number such and such. Could you not park in front of my house because I've got a car? And they must have just gone,
thrown it away.
Didn't get it. And I was just sort of, and I just waved it a little.
We've got fans at the window.
Yeah, but you see, my scary face made her just run off.
Yeah!
Her dad's laughing at her now because I'm scared of her.
Aww.
But the thing is, so yeah, I just did that northern thing and I thought, no, I've had enough. And I think it was one of those, I'd come back from the supermarket, kids, you know, backseat in the car.
Yeah.
You know, there's all of that going on. And then it started to rain and I'm trying to get my shopping, so I couldn't park in front of my house.
No.
And I started to go, do you know what? I can't do this. I just can't do it.
Right.
And it was that thing of, you can't have a proper bin because...
There's no room for it.
You just can't have a proper bin. And you could have done. So then there's foxes, isn't there, in London? There's the foxes, and it's like, well, you can't do anything. I remember ringing the fox hotline, going, hello,
this is
a fox hotline. You'll be fined £2,000 if you do anything to the fox. And I'm like, oh! So, honestly, there was a thing saying, the way to get rid of foxes is we in the garden. So I sent my little boy out, and my husband, and they were there going, do we have to? And then I stood there doing this all around the garden. I nearly sent off for, like, lion pellets, because apparently that's a good one.
Yeah.
Did everything.
Do you miss being able to wee in the garden, you know? That
Can I just say I didn't join him in that?
Oh, did because no, isn't this my sister does this. She says it's to get rid of the foxes, but I think she just enjoys an outside wee.
A lot of guys like that though, they do. And you think I've got friends who did it and I go, well there's right in there. What, yeah. And they go, something about being free and a guy, and they think, I don't know, they're just wired.
Primal.
It's a strange thing, yeah. Isn't it?
The fox is, I think my sister said the fox is his only deterrent, but certain, it's a female wee or a male wee, I can't remember which one now. Write in and tell us if you know which wee.
Yeah, I think it's male.
Ah, well that would make sense then to why you sent the men to wee. I did have icebreaker questions, but I feel like we don't even need them, so I'm gonna. We have them for anyone that we feel like, you know, you were straight
it's a bit
in.
Shy.
Yeah.
I'm fortunately the opposite. You have to step in because I talk utter blah. I'll just keep chatting. I've had a coffee.
Oh yeah,
I'm
me too.
I'm a Spaniard. I'm a gobby northerner, so I won't stop talking.
Okay, so I'm going to dive straight in because we met first of all on a Zoom gig.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's this coming up? And I was like, oh my God. And then we did a gig at Happy Mondays. So how the flipping hell, because obviously you've been an actress for years, you've been a comedy actress. Did you ever do stand-up before acting back in the 90s, the good old days?
So this is what happened, right? I moved to London. I don't even know what year it was, but I moved to London and I had one friend and my sister lived in South London and I didn't know anybody else in London. And this is because my brain's wired in the way it is. I thought, God, I don't know anyone. What can I do to meet people? I'll do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So I go around doing open spots, but then within a few weeks, I got a job acting.
Right.
And then I never stopped. And so the next thing I had three kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? Time went like this. I just couldn't go out. And I now know what it's really like.
Yeah.
Going out at night, you're going driving all over the place. You feel like a lorry driver. Mm. That's the other reason for moving to Wales. So on a Sunday, I can walk because it's a village. I can walk everywhere and I don't have to get in my car.
Mm. Right,
it's
yeah.
It's such a nice feeling.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
just don't have
yeah.
to, after yeah. you've just gone to... Like the other night, I was in Somerset.
Oh, my God.
Two something hours there and then two something hours back. And I was like, woof. Sometimes you don't want to drive. Anyway, that's not the point. So what I was saying is... So
back to driving.
Yeah. So the thing was, so I jacked it. I never did it.
Right.
I did it for a little bit, but I didn't really bother doing anything with it. Because
okay.
I couldn't. I'm an actress, so as you say, and I did all that for years and everything. And then I swapped, I suppose, doing that. I've always had another job, which is voiceovers. Mm. So I've always done that. You know, voiceovers for documentaries, for commercials, for radio, for telly and animations. I do that because it's so much fun and I love messing about with characters
oh,
and
yeah.
voices. And
yeah.
it's like my idea of fun. I nip myself that I'm getting paid for my job. I adore
Isn't it?
You know, all my jobs. And then... I think when I just got to that point of my teenagers being teenagers and suddenly they don't, you know, of course you've got to do lots of stuff and you've got to look after them and now it's driving them everywhere and sorting out things. It's a different kind of looking after.
Yeah.
But it's not as intense as when you've got little ones.
Mm.
And I thought, great, so everyone else is having a really nice time in the evening. All I've done is work, come back, learn lines. And then I remember actually doing a movie and it was set in 55 BC. And I had a shaved head and a fake tattoo and I was a warrior and I had a big sword. And
I've seen the pictures, you look amazing.
It's bonkers. But do you know I was doing my shopping on the phone to Sainsbury's? And it was a break. And I remember there was the specific point of why I moved with that salad bag popping. There was a specific point I asked for a block of cheddar cheese and I was actually saying out loud, what is wrong with this picture? Look at me. Why am I here ordering the cheese? Like... You know, it was nuts. And so you just sort of get to that point where you go, never stop, never stop. And I thought, hang on, you know, I just want to do something else because I'm writing something as well, which is kind of in there with someone and I'm trying to do other things. But I thought, I wonder what would happen if I did stand-up. And I thought, nah, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. It was like, stupid idea. And I thought, it wouldn't go out of my head. I don't know why. And so I decided to do it. And I was talking to this guy, he was a producer, he was a really nice guy, and he said to me, do you know what will make you do it? And I went, what? He went, just book a date.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, really? He went, book a date. So I booked a date, and I think it was in May, a year before lockdown. So I did the open mic circuit. I thought, I'll do it for 12 weeks, see what I feel like. And after 12 weeks, I thought, don't know what I feel like. I'll do it another 12 weeks. And I'm like, I quite like it. It's quite good. And then I panicked a bit because I thought there's loads of kids.
Yeah.
And there's loads of these weird comedy courses where they sort of all then hurtle out into the circuit.
Yeah.
And if somebody's... I'm going to be careful what I say. When somebody sort of says something funny, you go, oh, you should be a comedian. And then there's about 3,000 of them. And they're all like really weird.
Yeah.
And then I was about to think, oh, do you know, I can't be bothered. What I'm going to do is just write a show. I'm just going to do that. Forget this. And then suddenly...
A live show?
You were thinking you were going to write a live... Yeah, okay.
Which I am, actually. But I sort of looked and then suddenly you look at the circuit and you go, actually, it's quite bouncy. It's quite vibrant. You've got people of all ages, all nationalities. There's loads of women doing it too. As well, I think, you know, and I think it's so kind of, there's so many different gigs out there that suit so many people, and there's so many festivals to go to.
Yeah.
There's so much of everything. I thought, do you know what? This is quite good. I like the openness of it all.
Yeah.
So I carried on and I did it. So I did the open mic for a year, got my first booking, and 2 weeks later was a lockdown.
Oh, right.
So I sat there in lockdown, like whatever we're doing and what everybody else did, nothing. And then I started again just after it. So and I'm like I say, I'm writing a show. So
you did not let the lockdown stop you. Were you sitting in like your garage or something when you're doing some of the Zoom gigs?
Yeah, I've got a studio in my garage.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because I'm a voice artist as well, so I have a studio in case.
Because... And you had that before the pandemic.
I've always had that before.
That was handy. Mm. She's ready for an apocalypse. Most people might have tins and a bunker. She's got a microphone and studio.
Proper one.
Yeah.
And it's got a door and windows and it's soundproofed and it's lovely because, you know, so I've used that anyway. Oh, usually a lot of the studios that are around here is where that's my stomping ground is really where my stomping ground is.
It is the voiceover stomping ground, isn't it? Yeah, just this grid.
It's absolutely lovely. I love Soho so much.
I don't know how you... We love Soho. I'll put that on a jingle. I think that's why you were, you know, I assume you did mine because you seem to be quite relaxed on the Zoom gigs. But like me, like doing lots of radio stuff or voiceover stuff, it's because I think the Zoom gigs were a combination of doing radio and TV. It was a weird new medium is how I sort of saw it.
It was really weird. I did my first one and I have to admit, I thought, God, I can't do that again. That
was me too.
Absolutely soulless. I can't... Because I was in my mind thinking, oh, there's no audience. And as soon as I got my head around, I thought about it. I thought, actually, well, this is how it is. And this is all it can be.
Yeah.
And I suddenly started to really enjoy them. I thought they were great fun.
Yeah.
Because you could say anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's really chilled out at home.
Yeah.
Forgetting. The audience kept forgetting that you could be seen going like this and crunching crisps and falling off the sofa. It was actually really weird looking at so many strangers' living rooms. And I'm there thinking, oh, look at that sofa. But anyway, it was a really... I started to love it.
Yeah,
and I think
I did.
It was good because some people were just like, you know, we know some people just like that. But I think you were the same as me. It was just, I thought it was good fun.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it.
Do you think we like the sound of our own voice?
Yeah.
We were like, I don't care if you're not laughing because I'm just chatting away and having fun. I mean, they were sometimes soul destroying a little. And if, as I always said, if you kind of died, which is really hard to
measure.
You would go okay. You're really enthusiastic. You give a little, and you're like, okay, bye. And then, doof, put the lap down, and you're like, I've just saved my living room. I've just died. And now I'm just here.
But the thing is, they used to mute a lot of the people, and only save a few people for noise because otherwise it get too noisy.
Yeah.
So you don't really know if you did or not.
Yeah,
they could have muted the people that were actually doubled over, belly laughing at you, and you would never know.
Didn't you do it? You were telling me. You were telling me about there was one that you'd done. It was like a corporate one.
Yeah,
and it was at 6 o'clock, and you said that you could see the reflection in someone's glasses of a spreadsheet being open, and I was obviously still working.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, oh, bloody
nice.
Hell.
Yeah. But I did once at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you go, oh my God, for Barclays bank team building, whatever. And you think, no, thank you. Then you see all the money. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just turn it on as much as I can. But you know, they got a bit better. I mean, you know, nice and spiky, big up. You know, they got really good at sort of like, you know, prompting people to, like, don't just sit at your desk, like,
oh,
try.
Oh, they're good. He's yeah, a really like, good promoter, though, yeah. And I mean, and the thing is with him as well, he's got, like, a following of people that I think they love him.
Oh, you're talking about Sean?
Yeah.
Well, they do it together. So Sean, oh, yeah. Sean is, does Happy Mondays and Collie Wobbles, I think he calls himself. But no, Nice and Spiky
oh, no, you're
is Clara.
About...
But they do work together on a lot yeah. of things. But yeah. Anyway, we could talk about it too. Let's have, because I did ask you, Fiona, for a little song track, something you'd like to, and we always like to ask people.
Well, this is not so much like, the problem with me, you know, when everybody says to you, like, what's your favourite? I haven't got a favourite because I like so much.
Do you?
Yeah. It's like, what's your favourite colour? Well, I love blue, but I also love red, and I love that, that's my brain's like, meh. So,
yeah.
But it just happened to be, that's the mood I was in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to work in a club when I was a kid.
You worked at the Hacienda, didn't you?
A club.
And so just any club. Old club.
Just a club.
Just any old club. But I love house music. And this DJ, you know, she mixes house.
Right.
But with a lot of gospel, which sounds weird. That sounds like it shouldn't work. If you play it...
Oh, it works.
You'll see. And she's... she's great. She's a busy DJ. She's Sophie Lloyd. She's all over the place. She gets anyway. So it's a track, but I just think this voice is so strong, and I know you're going to think this doesn't sound right, but trust me, I think you'll love it.
I've had a little listen. Would you like to introduce it? Yeah.
No, you can do it. Go on.
Oh, okay. No, Angels by My Side featuring Pauline Taylor. Let's go.
Pauline Taylor's voice is just like whoa, you know, proper gospel, beautiful.
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast, the mum meetup you don't have to get dressed for.
There we go. Oh my gosh, we were just all imagining. We nearly didn't make it back in time. We were.
Having a bit of a party. Talking about someone else.
Fiona was telling us that, particularly that song or any sort of house songs, she loves blaring it up in her car. Am I up? I feel like I sound really tinny. I'm up. Okay. And a car is her space. And I think particularly as a mum, a parent, you've got to have a bit of a space. It's very hard to find a space.
Really, really hard. And I think that's another thing with your question about stand-up is that sometimes, you know that bit where you've just cooked dinner? And I don't know about in your house, but yours a little smaller. But
there's six and three.
There's always someone who goes, well, I want that. Well, I don't really want that. I want that. And I do that thing where I just make everybody what they want.
Right,
instead
okay.
of doing that, that's what I'm doing. I do different things.
Yeah.
But because sometimes you have to drive quite far,
yeah.
I have to go a little bit earlier. So, you know, like packing dishwashers and tidying up and stuff, I go, see ya. See ya. And I get in the car and I just turn the music up and it's like, yes. And that is lovely. Just a little tip to any mums that are trying to think of a way of getting out of stuff.
Yeah, bath time. Yeah.
Start doing stand-up.
Yeah, start doing stand-up.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is that, you know, so how did it... So you tried it years ago, and then you started getting into it now.
I mean, I liked it when I did it years ago,
but
I
had to
got another, other things took off. I got another job, and that was it. And I was only messing about.
Yeah.
So now, and again, I started to do it sort of messing about just to see. But actually, I do quite enjoy it, and it gets me out of loads of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm just carrying on doing that.
Well, we do find it's a common thread, obviously, on Funny Mummies, that a lot of mums get, the kids get to a certain age and then they try stand-up. It's funny, isn't it? Maybe it's a combination of, like, wanting to be heard and, like you say, having your own space. You can be really knackered, but you're like, I'm going to go and do this gig. Or, yeah, what's the hardest thing, do you think, it's been for you, like, you don't mind giving up your evenings?
Oh, what, stand-up, you mean?
Yeah.
There's not really. I think the hard bit was, but I suppose, getting used to how much travelling, because when I was doing the open mic circuit, it was dead easy. It was just in town here.
Yeah.
And it was, like, super simple. And then when it moved on and I'm gigging all over the place, I suddenly realise what that life's like. And it really is just, you are just travelling all the time.
Yeah.
And then I had a little blip of, like, oh, my God, this is a bit hard, because it's not... fun so much. But then,
what, because of the travelling?
The travelling, because it got too much, and then I suddenly got used to it, so that now it doesn't bother me going to somewhere like Taunton or going to Sheffield or whatever. It doesn't bother me travelling like that anymore, so now it's got loads of fun again. You go through phases, because it's kind of a new thing, and also I'm not doing it for any reason other than I'm not trying to be anything.
Okay.
I don't want to win awards because I've got enough.
thank you.
Hey, ladies.
My manual piece is full, thank you very much.
And it's not, but I'm not trying to chase anything. You know, I'm just doing it because I properly enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think for me, and then if I can write a show, and that's just to prove myself that I can concentrate in bigger sections than two and a half minutes, that if I'm trying to prove to myself I can concentrate enough without thinking, I've run out of washing powder. But, I mean, you know, and so to me it's great because I'm just having a laugh. And also, I'm not one of those people that, I don't know about you guys, but you know when you get those people who go, oh, my gosh, I'm going on holiday, I've got 2-3 weeks on the beach. I could last an hour on a beach, yeah, and I go, oh, this is lovely, and then I go, right, now what?
Yeah,
I can't be bothered.
Yeah. Right.
I'd rather be in a city, have a 2-day break, go to some art galleries, or just eat some stuff and not even do that. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of person I am. So for me, when you start going away to these places now, it's like little mini breaks.
Yes.
I'm having these little mini breaks everywhere, and I suddenly turn up somewhere, and I go, oh my God, look at the sea and the sunset, this is really beautiful, I'm taking a picture. And then I sort of buzz off again, and I'm really enjoying all of that. It's just and it's not like it's not with anybody.
No,
you know, I haven't got anyone, any of the kids, they're asking me for anything.
Yeah,
I haven't got my crazy dog, which I love, and I love him, but you know, he's just like a bonkers toddler, like all cockapoos, and you know, and my husband is dead cool with it.
He's cool. I was gonna. That was
well, he's a producer, so he gets our business. He understands our world, and he was always fine. You know, whenever I'm filming and I'm like, you know, disappear off for weeks, or even if you're at home, you almost disappear because you come home, learn lines, and then you get up, and you're not present with anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so we get each other's jobs, and it's sort of fine to do all and be all that. So I feel like I'm just having this little adventure, and I think to myself, you know, I'm middle aged, and I started a new job. Well, good.
And so
I'm off. That's it.
Well,
and honestly having a laugh, and I just meet such great people.
Thank you.
And I was doing like a thing with my hand on that you can't see.
She's pointing to us.
And,
never mind us. One day you'll meet some nice people.
So that's it, really. You know.
I mean, obviously you are brilliant because you. I do obviously think that little stand-ups make actors make the best stand-up because you know you've got the comedy timing, you know, as well. Obviously you've got the material, but you know, I think.
But that material thing's quite hard. I didn't realise. You see that you can get a stack of material, and every time you think, oh, I like that, it goes down and down, and then you get some more. I'm doing that thing at the minute. I've probably got a couple of hours of material, and I won't ever do it because I don't think it's right.
Right.
And I love that thing where I go, ha ha, and you make yourself laugh and write something in a book. And I do this thing called a 24-hour test. And so I look at it after 24 hours, and then I look at it, and I often, usually nearly 10 out of 10, I look at it and go, no. I don't even know why I thought that was even slightly funny. There's not even an idea that can bounce off that. And that's my process. It goes, it's strange, you know.
Okay.
So that's how I do things.
Out on anyone, like on the, you know, at home, trying it out on the kids or your husband or anything like that.
Just I only do it if I'm absolutely, in my mind, think, because I can't deliver, like, cause I've done that where you think, oh, just, you know, you start it out and you've got a few minutes, you need 10 minutes. Mm. Or I have to fill it with 10 minutes. And I might have been doing stuff. Even, it might have got a laugh and stuff, but I didn't really find it funny myself. It wasn't properly me. Yes. You go through a process, don't you? It's learning that thing of...
Yes, and being authentic.
So until I get that feeling of I'm happy to say it, even though I think it might be funny, it might be better for someone else, not me.
Mm.
You know, and I'll just not bother. So I'm changing the way I do it, really.
Do you think that comes from, like... Yeah, I write stuff sometimes and... Like, my husband came to see me on Sunday. It's the first time he's seen me in about 3 years, because this is what happens when you have kids. And he was like, there's certain bits that, like, is a good joke, but I don't think it's very you. And do you think sometimes that comes from, obviously, writing a script is different, because you sort of...
Yeah, probably. But also, you know, if you're writing a joke that works, you know, you can sometimes say, look, we all say this thing where every stand-up says, it's not always true, you know, we do lie.
Yeah.
So we make stuff up. You know, they're exaggerations of stuff, and or you know, that's what it is. You exaggerate on things.
Do exaggerate.
And you might just make something up because it's funny. That's absolutely fine. Every stand-up does it, but it's how believable is it for you as a person?
For your brand of who you are on stage.
But if you feel like that works for you, just don't listen to him.
Yeah. No, but I sort of agree with him because it's certain punchlines that I'm like, he's like, well, sometimes he'll go, but did that happen? And I go, no, it didn't quite happen like that. Because obviously, as you say, you don't, the truth isn't always the funniest one, but sometimes I'll go, what did happen? And I was like, oh, actually, that is funny. Do you see what I mean? So you just sometimes, oh, I don't know what I'm going on about now.
I know what you're saying, but it's a tricky one that you have to kind of, I think, the only way it works with me, I mean, people have said to me, there's a guy I know, he went, oh, God, don't do that joke. What are you doing that joke for? And I love that joke, so I carry on doing it. That wasn't my other half. That was just a guy who...
But did it get a laugh?
Yeah. Oh, well, I know.
Sorry, what's
the point? Yeah, he just personally thought it wasn't very good and he didn't think he thought he'd jarred with the rest of my material. And I, you know what? It's us going up there, isn't it?
We should just this guy? After you've been on stage...
Who is he?
After you've been on stage, you didn't shout it out.
Yeah. Wasn't the best one was a comedian who said to me, this is after I'd started my open spots. I'd not been doing it long. And I quote, he said... I ain't having a dig, right?
Oh, God.
Oh, but.
Said, all you got to do if you're a woman is hold a microphone, you get booked. before Brilliant. I went on stage. Just saying, that's the worst that somebody said to me.
Right.
And I said, I just got my Latin red mist and my northern gobbiness in control. Yeah. And I said, do you know what? I know so many funny stand-ups that are women. Anyway, see ya.
Yeah.
I did my little thing. But you know, you get this funny attitude, you know. And I just think that look, there's a massive circuit out there. There's different circuits out there. There's room for absolutely everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just go and be happy and do your own thing.
Yeah, I agree.
No one has to comment about women doing stand up. I love the fact that there's loads of women do stand up. Good.
God, that's so old school of him. Said I thought we'd moved on from
I thought we had as well.
Yeah, I think he's a different type of.
You do
circuit.
Get it. I
wonder if he was saying it to be thinking he was being helpful. Like, you're all right, you're okay, you just need to stand there.
Yes, that's true.
No, he was
true.
Having a dig.
You think he was having a dig?
I just always think when someone starts a sentence, there's some stand-up in this, isn't there?
What, with...
I ain't having a dig, right?
I ain't having a dig.
Well, there is a but, exactly that. He's about to
you
say
are
something.
Actually having a dig.
Yeah.
He might have thought he was flirting with you as
well. Exactly, as he gets his shovel out. I'm not having a dig. Well, I can see a shovel in your hand. I'm pretty sure you're about to dig.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, where should we go next? I want to talk a little bit about your parenting style a little bit. But
My parenting style is interesting. Or not, apparently.
Because I remember that it flicks up all the time, that clip from Smack the Pony, where the kids got their cartons of drink, and it's one of your clips, and you get the box of wine out and stick the straw in.
That's been viral for years.
Has it?
For mums, apparently, because I don't do Facebook, it's been viral on Facebook for quite a while and it's gone off all around the place because just mums find that really, really funny. And it's a silly little sketch, but it does make me laugh. My parenting skills, I mean, look, I had an interesting... So my mum is Spanish and they have a very different way with their kids than the traditional English way.
Right.
And as long as you're just happy and you play and you eat well... You know what? The world is good.
Okay.
It's all about freedom.
Okay, so not too strict?
No, my mum's not strict at all. But my English dad was strict. He's still here. but he was the strict one. But my mum was always like, oh, Fiona. Oh, you're such a case. That's all she used to say to me all the time because I was always doing something really... Like, you know, I'd fly down the banisters, like, but I wouldn't walk down the stairs.
Yeah.
I'd actually just go like a slide. Always. And she's like, oh, Fiona. Always, you know, I was always doing something.
I love that.
Just doing something naughty or a bit silly.
And did you have siblings?
Yeah, older siblings. So for me, I am very, very laid back, like, with my kids. Very laid back.
Right.
And I don't believe in... You know, I watched other parents and I used to really annoy them at school because they were all so pushy and not all, most of them. There was a particular group and they were very, very pushy. And it was all about, you know, shaking hands at 5 years old and looking someone in the eye. And it was just like, you know, go and play.
Just
I don't really care about that. And it's like, you know, coach after coach after coach. There's one woman who used to make her son watch the video back of the coach to see how he was doing.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the danger there is that all these pushy parents that do this to the kids, and they get them coaching for this and coaching for that and coaching for
tutoring.
This. They all become technically okay, but then when the natural talent isn't there, that's being blunt.
Yeah.
You know, there's millions of people trying to be Tiger Woods. You know, there's millions of people want to be the best cricketer, but you've got to be something else to be that.
Yeah.
And all the parents, it's almost like they're living there. I always found with one, it's sort of almost living their dream of what they didn't do.
And precariously
and
living
that
for,
they
yeah.
were the best. Yeah. They were best. And, you know, I saw kids being pushed and pushed and pushed, and I couldn't bear it. And I once said it out loud because, you know, they were, you watch them and they've got to have more tutoring after a long day and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I went, you know what? I don't care. And they could have heard a pin drop. And they went, well, what do you mean? I went, just don't care. I said, as long as my kids are happy and they're getting educated and having a really good time, then the rest of it, I don't care. And one of them looked at me and it was like a real weird moment. And she said, are you joking? And I went, No, I'm not. And I was kind of like, you know, the person that was just some sort of,
hippie.
And funnily enough, you know, my son, he passed his exams. I just didn't push him. And I remember once, I'm not saying it in that way, you know, he didn't go to Oxford, but he did fine, like everybody else, but he didn't have that pressure.
Yeah.
And I remember there were eight or something, and there was a week of exams, and all these parents are pushing and these exams were all day because they were trying to get them ready for more exams when they're older. And it was all this, all day. And I said, right, Felix, that's my son, we're going out to dinner every single night this week. I said, you choose a restaurant wherever you like. And so we went out every single night for something to eat rather than cram and push exams. Mm-hmm. So he was just chilled. And we saw a couple of parents in some of the restaurants and the looks of us. I was like, anyway, do you want anything else? You know, and I just do the river. I don't mean to. It's just I can see that my way of parenting is just very, very different. And they're lovely, my kids. And they are. And people genuinely all love all three of them. They are lovely. They're all very different and everybody loves them. And they are sociable and popular and loads of fun. And I think to myself, well, They're not having a breakdown because well, anyone could have a breakdown, but mine are never going to have one because of
you being, pushing them too much.
I mean, what is the point? I just think, you know, when it's a hard life to be free as a child now. You know, when I was little, I could go and play out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
properly
yeah.
play
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
My God, it was so.
We talk about that a lot, don't we?
But I still think of that. I remember those as some of the finest moments of my life. You know,
there's
that freedom of running across a stream and across a field, and I had a friend that was a donkey. my mum used to peel carrots. She used to peel them for the donkey.
Yes.
Well, I thought that's quite nice. Very Spanish. Yes, to be very nice for the donkey.
Oh.
For the little donkey. So really, it's a freedom in that sense. And of course, they've got boundaries. I'm not like some bonkers kind of like out there, don't care. There's boundaries, and I'm very boundaries in a sense that, you know, you've got to be careful of, you know, walking down the street, not being with your friends. You know, I'm very on it of those types of things. But I think about the schooling, just, you know, do your best. Because that's all my mum has always ever said to me, right? All you can do is your best.
Yeah.
You have tried. That's it. Mm. And what a nice little mantra.
Yeah, yeah.
Our
other
one is, be positive. Otherwise, what is the point? I love that. But, you know, and so I have a very, you know, I'd rather watch them having fun with their friends and making some food for themselves. That's a big thing for me because my mum's such a beautiful cook. I want to see them cooking, and the younger one's starting to do that now. And my son, who's the one who you'd think, oh, you know, he's like, he'd get Deliveroo if he could, but, you know, all the time. But, you know, and he'd come back from uni or whatever, and he's cooking and he's doing stuff. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I remember when he was 2 and a half, I'd let him stand on a stool if I was making a roast dinner, and he'd get all the herbs, the fresh herbs, because I like growing stuff, and sprinkle them with his little tiny fat hand, and he'd sprinkle them with the chicken. And I used to think, oh, I wonder if he's going to be a chef. But I never said it out loud.
Yeah.
I'd never ever try and say,
yes, try
you
and
wouldn't do this, you should do that. Never. It's just like, encourage something. So my youngest is a bit like, oh, I want to play the guitar. So I got I had a beautiful Spanish guitar, acoustic, so I let her play that. And then
I used to play
classical guitar, sadly. Well, I went to a school where I was taught by nuns, and, you know, I wanted to do pop songs and I was taught like Malagania. I was like, it's just gutting. But anyway, so I bought her an electric guitar and an amp. You know, and I think I said to one of the parents that another one I offended. I just offend them by talking. And somebody, they were talking about, you know, some of them map their lives out of their kids. They're going to do this, go to a certain uni, and then go into the city, do that job. Yeah. And you always think, hang on, your husbands don't like it. They don't even like your job. Yeah, they moan, they're miserable, but it's all the bank raid, isn't it?
That's so true.
It's a bit of a bank raid. They'll go in, get their money, and they're not even that happy anyway. And you kind of go, well, why are you planning your kid's life? It's not for you to plan anyone's life. And I said to this same group of mums, do you know what? If any of my kids said, I want to be an accountant, I want to go into finance, I genuinely would look at myself and go, you failed as a parent.
I didn't know where that was going to go.
Oh, my God, if looks could kill. They were... So I said I just genuinely... Because when I realised that annoyed them so much, I thought, oh, I'm just going to put a little...
Go for it.
So I just said one next thing. I just said, if I could just be so proud if I could see her, like... There was a big pause, and I went, centre stage at Glastonbury with a big pair of platforms on. Then, I would be so happy. And I think you could have just heard a pin drop. Again. So my parenting skills were slightly jarring with some of the others. You know, but obviously I'd try and help, but then I realised I couldn't if they were stuck on something because I don't do maths the same way as they do it now. They do a really weird way of doing stuff.
I think that
everything's different and it's a lot harder.
It's so, I mean, I think I bring up this every single podcast, sorry, Gemma, but it's the after-school clubs thing again. But I think I just think that's so good because I think it's linked to school clubs and pressure. Just before you came, I was talking with our lovely producer about secondary schools and like where to send them, and they're my oldest is only six, but and I think I've got into that because of the mums and already talking about what's the best one to go to, and you just have to be so careful that you're not it's just following a trend and pressure. I'm just like, oh, right, so I should be thinking
just
about
I mean, you know, just don't even fall into that,
because I've always been like, I mean, and it's the school's a school, isn't it? So unless it's like really, like, I went to quite a, I think now, I didn't realise until years later, it's considered quite a rough school. But I'm all right. I think, if anything, it drove me.
You just do what feels right for your family and your kids. And that's a good warning signal that you're giving yourself, which is to not get involved in that pressure.
But you have to really pull yourself back and really have a lot of self-control.
Yeah, but you can, but just don't get into it, because otherwise you'll end up doing what I did, and you'll come up with some daft things, and all the mums will be like this, and you know. But you just do what you feel like, what's right for you, and right for your kids.
Did you not find? I was talking another fellow funny mummy who's been on here a few times, Josie Long. She's moved up to Glasgow, and we were talking about finding your fellow friend parents, and is it safe to say then you didn't really find them at that stage, like, you know?
No, I did find there was a couple of lovely ones, I've got to say, but I do stuff in my stand-up about the others.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember.
And I have to say, enjoy every minute of that.
And have to, yeah, because you can just,
yeah, but do you know what, if that's women having a go at women, the way they're doing that thing,
oh yeah,
and I find that really interesting.
Yeah,
because all the lovely mums are all there going, and I'm doing that. I do that in my stand up now.
Yeah,
so
I think we can laugh at ourselves, can't we?
I think so. But I think we can, and I think but that whole school thing, you know what? You just do what you want to do, and anyway, you know, as well. You said six, right? You might decide to move in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we do want to move, and that's the thing. But I'm thinking
I'd start looking at those schools, because 2 years goes like as quick as
right.
that.
Well, 2 years.
I start looking
pandemic,
at those and just out of interest areas.
Yeah,
I'd do that instead of getting into a you know, a hornet's nest of like, oh, well, you know, and is it going to be that different that the school they choose from the one that's three, you know, streets away? You know what? Just free your mind of it.
Friends, I don't know if you had this with your kids. Friends is a big thing. I was talking to someone on my road and she sent her kid to a school that she thought was the best school, but it was not with any of her friends. And she's struggling because she doesn't know one person.
She'll make friends. She's a kid.
Yeah, I know.
My attitude on that, you make friends really quickly as a child, don't you?
Yeah.
You make friends with, you know, really quickly. And then I look at it as, and you get a new set of friends and you still have your other set of friends, if they're real friends.
Mm,
but, you know, kids, flaky. but, you know, then you open up your world. And so my attitude on that is, unless it's people aren't being particularly nice to it, but if you go to a new school at that age where everybody is, there's going to be loads of other kids there that are going to new schools that have left their friends, their friendship groups. And you stay friends with who you need to stay with. Like, one of my best friends, we've been friends since we're 5 years old.
Oh.
Five.
Five.
And she lives in another country. The trouble is all my best friends don't live in the village I live in.
Same here.
That's really tricky. But it doesn't matter because we talk all the time and, you know, you just it's dead easy, isn't it, to do that. And, you know, and I've hopped over there to see her in Corfu.
Hopped over there.
You know, but not a lot, you know, because I haven't got time to. But, you know, it's nice to see people, but they all sort of don't live there. But the point is, what I mean is, if you're going to be a friend, you know who your real friends are.
Yeah.
And along the way, you stay with them and you stick with them, or you move on your separate ways and you meet new people.
I mean, you know, like he's six, my oldest, and we've had the constant thing of like, oh, he's struggling to make friends. But I didn't really make friends when I was his age, and it took me when I was a bit like to find my people. So,
well, you know, psychologically, and I know this because a lady told me in a nursery.
Gemma's got a whiz off because we're running a little bit late today. So, bye, Gemma. You can say bye.
Oh, I can say it. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm gonna.
Living, breathing thing. This podcast.
I know it's a living, breathing thing. I could edit that bit out, but I'm too lazy.
You know, they don't make friends till they're at least five or six. Anyway,
do you think that's
proper
wrong?
Friends? Right. They don't. I know somebody running a Montessori nursery told me that because I said, "Oh, this is lovely." I love Montessori because it was a proper one, like a.
Bye.
It was a proper one, like a, you know, with wooden stuff and. You know, they were all, you know, it wasn't like kind of horrible toys and
dirty
it was
toys.
Just, it was lovely and it was all just doing things like, like your kids had fiddled with something in the kitchen, you know, and it was really lovely. And I said, oh, they all seem to be very self-contained doing, because I was just looking at them.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, but they don't often get friends properly till they're about five onwards, just because that's just not what happens when they're younger. So it's usually the mums that put them together.
Yeah.
Meeting up. In the park, which is, I mean, fine, but they're not properly
play. And we put
play.
That pressure. Yeah, you see
yeah,
it,
do.
Actually. We put that pressure, we go, oh, so-and-so's your best friend, or like from so young, and actually that's not fair, isn't it? Yeah, that's so true. God, that's a whole nother
topic. Do you know what I do,
topic,
though? I've
actually.
Always done is gone, do you like him? And they, yeah, or don't know, I'm not sure. Yeah, but they did. I said, oh, forget it, come on. That's my attitude. Do you like him or not?
Oh God! Now I've had the thing where like they're not getting on, but I get on well with the mum, and it's really that's really a struggle.
That's a really tricky one because I had a friend when I lived in West London, whose one of her kids was a spoilt, shouty, like really like angry little kid.
Yeah,
and he used to scream and like shout at people.
Sounds a bit like my son, but yeah, go on.
And I nearly told him off. Like I said, are you all right there?
Yeah.
Like are you all right there? What's happening?
Yeah.
Because obviously he's little. I'm not going to. But it was a real kind of moment of just like make him kind of do that because his mum did nothing.
Right.
And then I'm thinking,
okay.
Hang on a minute. We've got that. That's the tricky one. So you get, like you say, you get on with them.
Mm.
But then if they've got these really different values of being a nice little human being. Or letting your, because some of them want them to be strong. And
yes,
they want
yes.
them to be that yes. shouty, you know. And yeah, they'll be probably working, looking at screens when they're older in a pair of chinos.
Yeah.
And you want that, go for it, go for it. Not my world, it's not my thing, and it's not my kid's thing because we're not those kind of people.
This is, boundaries. Like my boy's not roughy tufty. And so, there's been a lot of things for like play dates with boys that are a bit more roughy tufty. And because he, we don't really know, but he's actually getting another assessment next week. He's on some kind of spectrum and he needs certain boundaries. We have to set a timer for the for playing games, internet games.
Yeah,
and that
no,
sort of
I get
thing.
That.
Do you know what I mean?
Structure.
But they don't. So that's the problem is then he's just like...
Sensory overload.
I've got a blooming rap.
To be honest, I think I get that myself.
Yeah, I need it. I mean,
no, there's too many microphones in here. No, honestly, I need like I like straight lines.
Oh, really?
I'm joking. No, I'm not joking. Do you know what? My kitchen is like, if I could, I've sort of given up recently. Mm. So I've got piles of like diaries and stuff and piles of things, and I've got a computer, laptop there, and I've got an iPad shoved there.
Do you keep buying another notebook to make yourself more organised, that sort of thing?
No.
That's what I do. Oh, okay.
I just don't throw out the old ones. And right, I'm like, okay, it's getting a bit more messy, but I have got a white gloss kitchen, which if I could just have that, and it was pristine, it was so kind of like nothing out of its place,
yeah,
and lovely. And I've gone through a phase of just giving up with them all, because they just leave stuff in the sink, leave stuff, and I've just given up a bit. But if I could have that all neat and tidy, I really would.
Yeah, you know, really.
It's what's that? It's a really old-fashioned saying. Somebody made me laugh, and it's something from the 1950s. There was one of those housewife books, and it said something like, tidy house.
Tidy mind?
That's something like that. Yeah. Tidy house. Didn't say relaxed then, did they, I suppose? No. Mind, but something like that. Calm mind or something, yeah, like that. And I remember going, whoa, God, 1950s, and you have that kind of picture of a woman doing, yeah, the thing. And then afterwards, now, I was like thinking, oh my God, I get that, because when everything's really neat,
yeah,
like I sit in what my space, like I don't have a telly in it, so that doesn't encourage any of them to come in.
Perfect.
And the only thing that's messing it up and following me is my dog. That's only one though out of a bunch, so that's not bad.
That's not bad. Fiona, I feel like we've just had a real good nugget of who you are.
I don't know if that's a good thing, is it? I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, no, but so much more I could keep talking about, and unfortunately we can't because we do have a time limit. And what I always say with this podcast as well is, like, often with being a parent, we just don't get a chance to finish a sentence. So
that's true. So true.
It's been so nice to be able to finish some sentences with you. And so what am I going to play?
Yeah, and thank you very much. I've had a lovely time.
Oh, good. Is there anything you'd like to promote, or just generally people to follow you and see where they can find you next?
Well, that's the other thing I started, as well as my open spots before lockdown, is I got on Insta. Yeah. I'm on Twitter, but I don't tweet. I get annoyed. Really?
What's your favourite then? Insta.
Insta, because I get on Twitter sometimes and I find it so angry with people.
Yeah.
And also I wasn't getting the thing, and I cooked this big paella and I was like, look at this, and put a picture out on Twitter. And my mate's going, Fiona, you don't do that on Twitter. And I went, oh, you really should go on Insta. Insta, you can follow me on Insta. _Fiona.Allen_ I've never said that out loud. But it's because that, I love that. It's just fun.
But you're saying about like sensory overload. I'm a bit with you. I think Twitter is sensory overload as well.
Oh, it comes at you from all angles.
A little bit more.
I know, you know, I like following, even though I'm a meat eater, I follow loads of plant-based and vegan people because I love their recipes. I never stop cooking.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, and people that do, like, you know, Arthur Parkinson, who does these amazing gardens and flowers and nature and animals. I love all that stuff, as well as the daft comics that we all are,
yeah,
and actors that are like, whatever.
So I don't follow
any
comics.
It's just more fun. I just don't want, like, you know, we all look at the news every day. We all read. We know what's happening.
Mm.
And I'm well up to date, like, we all should be, I guess. But I don't want it on. I don't want to be that political person,
right?
On Twitter. No. So I just don't bother. I sort of retweet things. I retweeted a few things, but I don't want to kind of start getting very angry about that. I just want to be fun.
It's sort of like someone said, it's like your shop window, isn't it, with Instagram? Sometimes I've thought about having a moan on there or something, and I think, no, what are people coming to my page for? And it's like, I hope it's a bit of black relief.
But you know, I think the thing is, you can moan on it. I think there's a big difference than people who moan on Insta, and rightly so, we're all allowed to, than having to go, which is, but there's the angry stuff on Twitter that I don't like. That just does my head in.
Just damn right.
So yeah, I'm more of an Insta person.
Mm. Great. What should we play out with? I'm going to let you choose either All That She Wants, Ace of Base, or Where's the Party, Madonna. What should we play out with?
Madonna, I suppose.
Mm, yeah. It's always like, I used to love Madonna, and then I don't play her very much, and then if I play, you go, oh yes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I've not heard Madonna for ages, so that's why I said Madonna. Okay. Yeah,
thank you so much. Do keep subscribing if you have, and if you haven't, Why haven't you? Tell people, follow and follow me at Hattie Ashan. I am talking about doing hour shows. I am working on my hour show towards Edinburgh this year. So I'm all over the place doing previews. If not, catch me in Edinburgh, depending on when you listen to this. Thank you very much, Fiona Allen. Let's play out with some Madonna. Where's the party?
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.